you like what you feel in this place, give the Lord another big hand clap. The Lord has something for you today, and you don't have to leave the same way that you came in this place. Hallelujah. Just a couple quick announcements this morning. Ladies' prayer tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Also, ladies, don't forget to keep moving to your next sisters by choice. Also, men's prayer will be Thursday at 7 p.m. And also, we got the time changing next Sunday, which we spring ahead an hour. So I think we lose an hour, fall back and spring ahead, so we lose an hour of sleep. Also, there is a youth service March 22nd of this month where the whole youth will be taking over the service from preaching to doing the music, which is very exciting. Also, break-in is today after service at the high school. If you have any questions regarding that, see Sister Debbie. If we could have our ushers come at this time. And it feels good in this place today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we like what we feel in this place today, Lord. We come with great expectation today, Lord, that you will do the miraculous in this place today, Lord. You will touch us and you will meet us, Lord God, right where we're at today, Lord. We just ask that you just bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. Come and give unto the Lord. Greet someone today.
As we make our way back to our seats, let's just raise our hands right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are so great and greatly to be praised. we praise you. You've walked in here with today, no matter what you've been battling or facing in your everyday, day-to-day life, He can save you and He can heal you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Lord, we need you. Every day in your hands, you were there before time began. Sovereign One, I rest in your plan. From the depths to the dawn, you were there, your promise is strong. I will trust with all that I am. Oh, oh. Jesus. Jesus, oh, how I need you. You stay the same.
You are good in your ways.
You are good in your ways.
Oh, you never let me down.
Jesus, Jesus, oh, how I need you. You are enough. All my trust is in you.
Jesus.
Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah in this place. Oh, Jesus Christ, the Word says it. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you thankful today? You know that Jesus can show up in your life. Somebody shout hallelujah one more time.
Hallelujah.
Turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them you're so glad to see them in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Look at somebody else. Say, we serve a mighty God. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Before you're seated, I believe, well, I know someone received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like the Bible says, last Sunday, and baptized in the name of Jesus. Christina, come on down. I feel like it's more than the price is right. Baptized in Jesus' name, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, are you thankful for what God is doing in this place? My, my, what a mighty God we serve. What a presence of God that we feel here today. Again, we are so thankful you're here. You could be anywhere else, but you chose to be here. I'm so thankful to see you. After service, there is the break-in ministries that is happening. So if you know where Archbold High School is and wherever Sister Debbie is, she might already be gone. Oh, there you are. I was getting ready to say something, but I better not because I'll get in trouble. Amen. What a wonderful ministry that is, and connecting so many people to God. We're thankful for that. Look at somebody before your seat and say, you belong here. Turn around and say that to somebody else. You belong here. And you may be seated. It's so good to see Sister Helen here. She had been sick for a long time and suffered with various things, but we're so thankful. She said, I'm coming to church tomorrow. And Chad, thank you for helping her. We appreciate you taking good care of our dear Sister Helen. We love you, and we're thankful. Amen. Thankful. Belong with should be with, it means. You cannot own another human being, so you belong with. It means you should be with me. Belonging is the feeling of security and support when there is a sense of acceptance, inclusion, and identity for a member of a certain group. Belonging is being seen, being heard, being... praise God, eh? She's starting already. Being valued and being safe. Belonging is not about fitting in, but about being accepted, being loved, and being respected for who we are. And as humans, our greatest desire is to know and be known, to love and be loved, and feel confident that those who know and love us will be there for us through joy as well as through trouble. Research has been dedicated to seek the meaning of life and humanity. Psychology Today writes in their article, The Science Behind Our Need to Belong. The human mind, and I quote, has a primary and almost universal desire to form and keep relationships with others. The need to belong may well be considered important, as has been discussed alongside other human needs in the history of psychological research, end quote.
Studies have been presented to prove that the feeling of that loss of belonging has been associated with stress, illness, and decreased well-being, as well as even depression. When one is dealing with the feelings of rejection or the feeling of being disconnected, the initial reaction may be to further isolate or even escape from. With that, I say, you belong here. Oh, my God. You belong here. Look at somebody again and just say, you belong here. Point your finger at them. I know you got four fingers pointing back at you, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You belong here. Come on, clap your hands and say hallelujah. Now, please allow me the liberty to make this plain and fully backed up by the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 says, "Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street and of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and even the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light or of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever." You see, you belong in heaven. We belong together even in this earth. Somebody shout hallelujah. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17 reads, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let them come and drink freely the gospel." Hear me. The gospel is for each and every one of us. You belong here. You belong here. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hand, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, and glory to the Lamb.'" There's a little, maybe more understandable version. Let me read for them. It's maybe a little more clear. Revelation 22, 9 through 12. "I looked again. I saw a huge crowd, too huge to count. Everyone was there. Everyone was there. All nations and tribes, all races and languages, and they were standing dressed in white robes, waving palm branches, standing before the throne of the Lamb and heartily singing, 'Salvation to God who sits on the throne.'" I just want to take a moment, and I just want, if you could, just say that right now, "Salvation to God who sits on the throne." And the Bible says that's coming from every race, every tribe, every nation. You see, in heaven, it's going to be made up of everybody, anybody. And since we want heaven here on earth, you belong here. You belong here. Bible reads, "Salvation to our God on his throne. Salvation to the Lamb. All who were standing around the throne, angels, elders, animals, fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Oh yes, the blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, the honor and the power and strength to our God forever and ever. Hear me again. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter the language you speak. You belong here. You belong here. Look at somebody and say, you belong here. Turn around and give a high five to somebody and say, I'm talking to you. Maybe I need to break it down like this. Este evangelio es por cada nación, cada tribu, cada pueblo y cada persona. Tú perteneces aquí. Y los que hablan español griten gloria a Dios. Los que saben que lo estoy diciendo esta tarde, tú perteneces aquí. No importa la lengua, no importa el tribu, no importa la nación, tú perteneces. You belong here. You belong here. Woo, my God. Heaven is going to be great, but it's great right now. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, you belong in this very place. You belong in the presence of God. Woo, come on, somebody shout hallelujah. You belong here. Now, I know there will be some who say, but you don't know my past. You don't know what I've been involved in. No one will understand the secret struggles that I deal with. Let me clue us in on something. This very place is made up of the very descriptive words that the Apostle Paul, you know, the man who murdered so many in the New Testament, he chose to write a letter addressed to the church of Corinth. Matter of fact, I read an article that described the church that was in Corinth. And it goes like this. The church at Corinth was much too cozy with the dominant culture for Paul's liking. By engaging in litigation, patronizing prostitutes, and participating in pagan cultic meals, the Corinthians were conforming to the behavior patterns of the larger society, end quote. See, Corinth was a prosperous city, but also is known for its absolute immorality, pride, and just plain sin. That's what it was. So Paul, he's never bashful and ever so vigilant to let the truth be known. And sometimes I think if Paul, you know, were here today, he'd be what many would label as he wasn't politically correct. Come on, somebody say amen. Thank you, Angie. You're tearing it up. That wasn't Angie. Who's this one? Oh, thank you, girls. Thank you, girls. But Paul, I mean, he had a way with words, and sometimes it was offensive. But it was to prick our hearts to get us to look at Jesus, and not just because, hear me today, when we begin to look at Jesus and are looking at Jesus, more than likely what you look at, you feed, you grow. So what you're looking at, you'll become like. I want to be like Jesus. So Paul, he writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, and I'm going to warn you. It's not politically correct, so don't shoot the messenger. Are you ready? This is the Word of God, and we're a Word church, aren't we? We believe the Word of God. He says this, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, holy cow. But notice verse 11. Paul didn't just end like that. He said, and such were some of you. But you've been lost. You are sanctified. You're justified in the name. You're made right through Jesus Christ. Such were some of you, he said. Hear me today. We were all once the property of the enemy, but once we were plucked out from the hands of that very enemy by the King called Jesus, we became and become vessels, utensils, not only dedicated to be in the temple, but to be worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You belong here. The Lord picked you up, turned your life around. And he said, you belong in my house. You belong to be a worshiper. You belong here. Now, some under the sound of my voice today used to be in the bar singing to the sounds of karaoke machines. But now you're singing to the glory and for the glory of God. Oh, my. Some under the sound of my voice today used to be dealing drugs on street corners, but now they're raising some hands in glory in the house of God. Hear me. You belong here. You belong here. Crystal, you put it out on social. How many days now has that been sober? Hurry up. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. We got to track this stuff. This is good stuff. 551 days. You belong here. You belong here. Come on, let's just thank God. You belong. You belong. You belong here. How many, has anybody else been sober for, come on, tell me what it is, just shout it out. Come on, let's thank God for that. What you got? How much? 15 months, let's say. But such were some of you, but you've been washed. You got something you want to say? 29, let's celebrate in that. How many's been serving God for more than 10 years? You belong here. How many's been serving God for 5 years? You belong here. How many just started walking with Jesus? You belong here. You belong here. Some today, though, under the sound of my voice, used to live lies and do whatever they could to get ahead of others. They used to beat people for material gain. I told you about my uncle. I'm related to Jesse James, the great bank robber. It stopped with my uncle, who served time in the state penitentiary. He robbed more gas stations than we'd choose to talk about. But then we look at him and say, yes, I know what Clinton Clutter was. He was a drunk. He'd do all kinds of things. He'd beat people. But guess what happened to Clinton Clutter? He got baptized in the name of Jesus, received the baptism of the... I'm telling you what, God knows. God knows what you need. God knows how to pick you up out of the mess. You belong here. Look at somebody and say, you belong. You see, we all have a past of sorts until the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords came walking by and said, I want to make you a vessel of honor for my glory. And he plucked us out of addictions. He plucked us out of pain and misery. He picked you up and he snatched you and I out of the hands of the enemies and made you and I as vessels of honor for God. He made you and I to be a people that will lift up our voice, that will clap our hands, that will magnify the name of Jesus. I'm thankful today that we belong in the body of Christ. We belong in the kingdom of God. You see, he went into the temples of the God of this world and he snatched you and I out. He's telling this. I'm going to put some oil on you. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and then I'm going to make you a worshiper. Are there any worshipers in the house today? You see, our Lord, the King of Kings, as Scripture says, and the Lord of Lords, He's picked you and I up. Again, I said it already, out of addictions. He's picked us up out of a problematic past. He's picked you and I up out of muddied relationships, destroyed dreams, and made us, you and I, as vessels of worship for the kingdom of God. 1 John reads like this, 1 John chapter 3 and 16, "Hereby I perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us." Romans 5 and 8, "But God chose His love for us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 6 and 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." No matter what the issues were, no matter what the hangups were and might have been, because of Jesus called the Christ, you and I have a future. We belong here. Boy, Katrina, Sister Katrina, I don't know what you're doing to them babies, but they're getting on fire for Jesus, and we love it. But Jesus now, He wanted to describe to us a word picture. And it was a word picture of His love. So He gave it to us in a parable of sorts, and it's found in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. He said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." Verse 14. "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no worthy to be called a son. That make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found.' And they began to be merry." So we find here a story unfolding from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking about a father who had two sons, and we just read the story. One remained faithful, whereas the other demanded his inheritance. Now let me point this out. Inheritances are only granted when someone dies or is at death's door. And yet we find this young man demanding of his father an inheritance that he really wasn't ready for. We get like that sometimes, don't we? We make demands out of God for things that we just aren't ready for. Amen. But right in those first few words of Jesus, we can get a picture being formed. The young man was basically saying to his father, "Dad, you're dead to me. I don't want anything more to do with you. I don't want to sit at your table. I don't want anything to do with this family. I don't want your protection any longer. I don't like your rules, so I want to go home. I want to go do what I want to do." Luke 15:12, "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.'" He demanded to have this inheritance given to him at that very moment. He wasn't ready for it. The father had not died. There was nothing wrong with the family. The young man just said, I want to do things my way. Don't we run ourselves into trouble when we always want to do things our way? Upon saying those words, here he was attempting to burn a bridge linking him to his father's house. He was saying, Dad, you're dead to me. I don't want you anymore. Give me what you're going to give me as if you were to die today. Those are harsh words. I mean, I couldn't imagine one of my children walking up to me and said, I don't want to live under your home, under your roof anymore. I don't want to sit at mama's table anymore. I don't want to eat her good cooking. You know she's a good cook when you look at this massive thing sitting in front of you. I couldn't imagine my children coming up and saying, you're dead to me. Give me whatever you're going to give me at inheritance. Kids, I'm going to show you what you're fixing to get from this cat. A wire. Look at that. I got to be careful. They're going to choose my nursing home. But this young man, he wanted his inheritance before the father even died. Could you imagine the pain that this poor father had to feel? He was being treated like he was a nobody to the family. Can you imagine the pain that this father had to feel when he was looking into the eyes of a son he loved so dearly, willing to give up his life for him, willing to do whatever it would take to take away any pain or sorrow from him, providing a roof, providing protection? Could you imagine the feeling this father had to feel when the kid said, Dad, you're dead to me? The pain. I couldn't imagine. We don't really know the exchange of words. Things were probably said that the father may have even regretted hearing or even deserved to hear, yet he gave his youngest son his inheritance. Scripture states it like this in Luke chapter 15, verse 13. And not many days after, the young man gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The kid, he blew it on anything and everything that he felt was best for him. The young man blew it on what would please him. He blew it on temporary things. It seemed like he was having a great time. He was posting pictures on what's happening in Israel. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? What's happening in Archbold, or what's happening? Anybody, or what's happening in Paulding or Edgerton? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I love it, folks. I love it when somebody posts that there's chickens to be given away. Sister Bridget, if you start getting phone calls, it's not my fault. It was on What's Happening in Archbold, and it said free chickens, and I tagged her in it. You're welcome, Brother Steve. You're welcome. One time somebody in the church, a handyman of sorts, somebody needed a hornet's nest removed. So guess what I did? I tagged them in it. I thought this is going to be, they were getting phone calls like nobody's business. Do you take care of hornets? That's me. Here he is. He's taking shots of himself on Snapchat with his friends. He would tweet out his party lines in 140 characters or less. His Instagram page was shared more times than necessary. It's kind of like trying to watch the Super Bowl and all you see is Taylor Swift. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The kids seemed to have it all going for him. Whatever he wanted, he had gotten. Whatever his friends needed, he would provide. He would withhold no expense. Fiercely talented with great looks, he would demand the room for which he walked into, any room. He'd roll into places with spinner rims on his chariots, always dressed to the nines. But the time had come. Drought had set in. The famine in the land had dried up all the goods and the cost of living. He couldn't afford the penthouse he once had or on the corner of the River of Jordan. The local nightclubs were shutting down because people couldn't pay. Debts were rising. Now this guy had to foot every bill for everything if he wanted to have a party. Whereas before, some of his so-called friends would at least bring something or provide the entertainment. And here he is now, broken and beaten, barely dressed and lying in the gutter of the street. Times have changed now. Here he is. He wasn't the go-to man anymore. He had aged tremendously due to the lifestyle he had been living. His friends were gone. His girlfriends were gone. The party crew had now left. The lights had gone out and had gone out in the home since he ran out of money. And things were starting to look bad. He's living in tight times. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let me say this. Sin will always take you further than you want to go and keep you longer than you intended to stay. Always. But we read in Scripture that this young man who once had it all had to seek employment with a pig farmer. Now keep in mind, Jesus was giving this parable to the Jewish people, the people who had the law, and he knew exactly what he was saying. He knew exactly the picture he was painting to the crowd. He was telling them, this young man has hit rock bottom. You can't get any lower than that. He was feeding hogs. He was letting them know this guy was in bad shape. I've got some pig farmers that don't live very far from my house, and I can hear them squealing. And I'll tell you what. When the wind gets blowing just right, it gets mighty nasty out there. Some say that smells like money. Not to me. But it does to somebody. You see, the pig is the ultimate to the Jewish nation. It was a symbol of loathing. Mindy Kemenaker wrote in her article, Pigs in Judaism, she writes, there's probably no animal as disgusting to the Jewish sensitivities as the pig. It's not just because it may not be eaten. There are plenty of other animals that aren't kosher either. But none of them arouse as much disgust as the pig. Colloquially, the pig is the ultimate symbol of loathing. When you say that someone acted like a pig, it suggests that he or she did something unusually abominable. Indeed, many people think of pork, ham, and bacon as the most unkosher foods there are. The Torah gives two physical signs that mark kosher land animals. They ruminate, they chew their cud, and they have fully split hooves. It then goes on to list several creatures that have just one or other of these, and they are therefore unkosher. One of these is, everybody say, it's the pig. And it's because the hooves, which are split, but it does not chew its cud, it's therefore unclean for you. She begins to write, Many of the commentaries offer reasons for the mitzvah of keeping kosher. Why indeed did Judaism so abhor the pig? I mean, I like bacon. Are there any bacon lovers out there? Yeah. But here's why they abhorred the pig. It carries diseases. 10 measures of plagues descended to the world. Pigs took 9 of them with them. Such diseases are also easily transmittable from pigs to humans, as indeed is still the case with flu and other viruses. Anybody remember the swine flu? H1N1, I think, is what they called it. It spreads filth, they say. It's because they would wallow in the muck and eat revolting things. Were Jews allowed to eat pork, they would raise pigs and thereby introduce filth into their homes. It's a symbol of hypocrisy. It pretends to be a kosher animal. The Midrash draws a comparison between the Roman Empire and the pig. Just as the pig sticks out its hoofs when it's resting, as if to say, I'm kosher, so did the Romans put on a show of justice to mask their corruption. End of quote. This guy, Jesus is painting a picture, a word picture, a parable. He's trying to get them, the congregation of sorts, to understand the words that were coming out of his mouth. So he made it real. He brought it to their very world. And he's attempting to tell them, this guy is as low as he could go. Not only that, the Bible says this cat was so hungry that he started longing and having hunger pains for the hog's food, for the slop. He was scoping out the leftovers. And to top it all off, the Bible says that the pigs, the swine, wouldn't even make room for him. He'd try to get in there and get something. Them pigs would just do what pigs do. They just would just wallow him and knock him down in the mud. He'd try to get back up, and the pigs would just kind of push him aside. Are you getting what Jesus is trying to lay down here? But that's how it is to us today. When we're running from his love, we do things that we never thought was possible, or we hit new lows that we never thought could happen. We say things like, well, I'll never do that, and then we do that. I'll never get involved in that. You get low enough, sin will take you there. But notice what he does. All of a sudden, he comes to his senses, and he says, the servants of my father's house, they get better than this. Luke 15:17. How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? In other words, they've got leftovers, and I can't even bum a bite from a pig. That's pretty bad, ain't it? He's saying my father's leftovers are better than this. Their worst day of provision is a far cry better than my best day in a pig's pen. Let me pause right here and say this. Your worst day serving God is a far cry better than any moment in the world that we used to live in. So Jesus, he's continuing this parable. The young man comes to his senses. He's got a made up mind that no matter what, he was going to get back to the one who knew how to demonstrate love. And he says this, I'm going back to my father. He felt unworthy to be called the son, so he was willing to settle for the issue of the title of being called his servant. He was so ashamed at who he had become and what he had done, broken and defeated, a physical mess, almost unrecognizable. But he said this, I'm going back to my father. Why don't you just say that right now? I'm going back to my father. This is an important point. He didn't say, I'm going back to my father's house. He said, I'm going back to my father. And the reason is there's always a critic somewhere who will tell you why you don't belong or even where you don't belong. But I tell us today, you belong here. You belong here. And on that day, maybe the sun was setting. The father sat in his rocking chair looking into the sunset, thinking about his boy that walked away, who ran off, and thinking about the boy who said, it's my life, I want to do it my way, and dad, you're dead to me. The father sat every night waiting for his boy. He's seen a donkey coming, but he realized it was just a delivery being made by the mailman. In the distance, he would see the dust begin to follow a camel, and a camel's trotting along, but would only realize that's just somebody getting ready to make an Amazon delivery. Every day the father sat waiting for his boy who left with bitter feelings, aggravations, and messed up ideas. And this is how it happens sometimes. We get hurt, so we respond wrongly. That's what happens sometimes. Let's just be honest. We are humans, and humans are finicky. Aren't we? And we build on assumptions only to find out that it wasn't quite like it. Then the day had come. The moment had come. The sun again was setting. The father was about to get up out of his rocking chair. He stood, he stretched himself out, adjusted his hat, and one more time he looked into the coffee mug, and then it happened. In the distance, he seen something. It wasn't a donkey. It wasn't a camel, but it was the silhouette of a man stumbling down the pathway of his home. And there the father begins to rub his eyes. Was he seeing what he thought he was really seeing? Was his eyes playing tricks on him? Surely it can't be. The father rubbed his eyes again. Was he seeing this? Was it really so? Could this be true? He would recognize that step from anywhere and anyone. It was definitely his son. Walking slowly, though, shoulders slumped over in regret, but he understood something. His boy was coming back. Woo! My God! Now, Scripture states that when he seen his boy, he didn't wait for him to get through the front gate, but rather, Daddy was waiting on him. He ran to the boy. He wrapped his arms around him and he said, "You belong here. You might have messed up, but you belong in my embrace." I want to tell us today, Daddy is waiting on you, and he's willing to run if you're willing to walk. He's willing to run to where you are, to your voice, if you're willing just to put one foot in front of the other. I'm telling you, our Heavenly Father is wanting and waiting to wrap his arms around you and say, "You belong here." It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter the situation you found yourself in. You belong in my arms. Can somebody say amen? Amen. You see, our Lord will equal your one step with him taking two. You see, we have a Heavenly Father that loves us and is willing to overlook our shortcomings, our faults, our mess-ups, our addictions, our past. If you're willing to walk, he's willing to run. Let's all stand. I'm going to tell us today, just get to Jesus. Just get to Jesus. Because you belong here. See, here today, we have a Heavenly Father with open arms. He doesn't condone the lifestyle choices. He doesn't condone the issues you may have found yourself in or the mess that you might have made. But he's willing to change where you were and most certainly change who you were with. Scripture states that the Father gave his Son new clothes. He didn't give him the hand-me-downs from the older brother. The Bible says it. He gave him new clothes, a new identity. The guy messed up, but the Father changed that. He changed the way the guy looked and even smelled. Can somebody say amen? He changed the way this guy even perceived himself. And as the father embraced his son, they wept heavily on each other's shoulders and in a trembling voice. "Come here, Aiden, come here. You're going to have to stand on that step because I want to be taller than you today. Just don't look at this. That's my boy. He's taller than me." I love it. But I can hear that father in my mind. As he grabs his son and says, "I love you. I love you no matter what." Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. You may have fallen short, but no matter what, you're my boy. And you belong here. You belong here. I'm telling us today that no matter what you may have found yourself in, you belong in the arms of our Heavenly Father. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I want to tell you, no matter what you've done, the Lord wants to pick you up and say, "Come on, I'm going to make you new. I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to pull you up out of the... You're not going to smell like things of sin and things of the world. I'm going to make you... I'm going to change you." How many want that today? How many want that change today? Whew. You belong here. Hear me, you may have fallen short, failed a little bit. You might have done things you're not proud of. We all have a past. Your love for him may have come up even a little short, but guess what? His love, 1 Corinthians 13:5, his love keeps no record of wrong. You're willing to walk. He's willing to run. So would you look at that person next to you? Look them right in the eye. You got to look at them good. Say, you belong here. Come on, look at them. Look at that person. Look at them good. You belong here. And I'm wondering if you said that to somebody and you meant it. Would you grab the hand of the person next to you if it's appropriate and you feel comfortable enough in doing so? But would you step out from where you are? And I understand some will do it, some won't. And that's okay. Wherever you are today, wherever you are today, you belong in the presence of a Heavenly Father who's willing to run so long as you're willing to walk, so long as you're willing to take the step. Come on, you belong here. Lift up your hands right now. We're going to begin to celebrate the very fact that we are in the presence of a holy God, a Heavenly Father that knows exactly where you are. He knows what you've been dealt. Oh, come on, begin to worship God and thank Him.
I am free.
Begin to thank Him. We're going to celebrate
the one. I am free.
Come on, let's celebrate that moment.
I am free. Hell lost another one.
You belong.
I am
you
free.
You belong here. That I once was identified with, and your Heavenly Father wants to give.